Hey guys, welcome back to Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I am one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, here as always, and my co-host and friend, Graham K, is out on the high seas making people laugh out in the Caribbean, I think, the Caribbean. And yeah, he's bringing joy to those passengers out there. And so it'll just be me this week. This will be a special episode. I thought we would play some interviews that our roving reporter, Jill Escher, did. This one is out in Chicago. She was out in Chicago for a conference, and she interviews Jonah Zilmiles. Oh, my goodness. If Graham was here, he would make fun of me pronouncing his last name. Z-I-M-I-L-E-S. Zilmiles. And Jonah, which I can pronounce that name, he founded Words Bookstore, which is in Maplewood, New Jersey. I know where Maplewood is. There's a good friend of mine lives in Maplewood, Mike Gaffney, who was a very funny comedian. You saw him on Last Comic Standing like 5 years ago. If you're in New Jersey or in the New York area, check out Gaffney. Very funny man. Anyhow, our hero this week that we're highlighting his work is Jonah. He realized that his son, who he would call on the spectrum somewhere from medium to severe, starting to age, he needed employment options, and he didn't see a lot. So he went out and founded this bookstore. So, and they've hired over 100 people with autism over the years. If you're in Maplewood, I encourage you to stop by Words Bookstore and support them. Anyhow, I'll play this interview and let you know my thoughts at the end here.
Hey, everybody. This is roving reporter Jill Escher, and I've roved to Chicago, Illinois, where I'm attending a conference, and I ran into a friend of mine, Jonah Zilmiles. Say, hey, Jonah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm so glad to see you, and thank you for letting me interview you for Autastic.
My pleasure.
So Jonah is another celebrity in the autism world.
Hardly.
Well, you decide.
You are. I'm
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there are lots of things that have been written about Jonah's work, and he's received lots of awards that were well-deserved, and he is in his third career now as owner of a bookstore in Maplewood, New Jersey, called...
Yep. Words Bookstore.
Words Bookstore. And
because the name was because they said so many times to our kids, use your words. And that's how we got the name of the bookstore.
Use your words. So
for our kids who are nonverbal. Or with limited vocabulary.
I've said that to my kids. It never worked. The words never came. But, oh well. I've never been to your bookstore. But
please,
before I ask you a little bit about yourself, can you just describe your bookstore a little bit?
Sure. It's a general purpose independent bookstore.
There aren't many of those left.
Oh, you'd be surprised. We're doing better than you think. We've been open 9 years. In fact, our sales have increased on an average of 12% a year every year we've been open. But we opened it in 2009. And the idea was that we would have a business in our community and help our community and foster reading and intellectual activity in our local community. But it was mainly open because our son was 12 at the time, and we didn't see any kind of reasonable possibility for employment or really any kind of services in the adult world.
You were thinking ahead.
Correct.
Now, your son has autism.
Yes.
All right. So you opened this bookstore
right when
he was 12.
Yep.
Because you knew that when he aged out of school,
there was going to be nothing.
So you were like, I'm going to fall off the cliff. So when I fall off the cliff, let me fall into this bookstore.
Well, we spent about 6 years looking around for the right school for him, which is a whole other story.
Yes.
And after going through that, we sort of figured, and boy, that's the easy, quote unquote, the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we better start working on it.
Yeah.
Now, because it'll take a long time.
Ain't that the truth? So, tell us about your son and your journey to, ending up where you are.
Sure. So, I was working. I'd been a practicing lawyer at big law firms, but then I moved to actually work in the not-for-profit world and had a great job there that I enjoyed tremendously when our son was diagnosed with autism, and I cut back my work time to, first from 5 days a week to 4 days a week to 3 days a week, and it became apparent that one of us, my wife or I, had to quit. She would have been happy to quit, but she was doing incredibly well in the rat race, and I said, you just stay in the rat race, mm-hmm. I'll quit, and I became a stay-at-home dad, mm-hmm. And that's what I did for a bunch of time.
Got it. Okay. So what's interesting about, and by the way, how old is your son now?
22.
Okay. So you've been at this now 10 years.
Yes. At the bookstore 9 years, he was gone from 12 to 13.
What's his name?
Daniel.
Daniel, that's right. I forgot. So Jonah, so when you set up the bookstore, you also had in mind creating employment opportunities for people with autism.
Right.
How has that panned out?
Great. We've had over 100 people with autism work in our store over the last 9 years, and they do a variety.
He just said 100 people.
100, that's right.
100 people with
autism.
More
than 100. And they haven't all been paid employees or people have worked for a very long time, usually probably 6 months or so.
And what kind of jobs?
And they do all kinds of things. We start out with putting stickers on our bags. We don't have our name printed on our bag. We try to craft or actually reverse engineer jobs that these folks can do. And for people who have
significant impairments. So the stickers that say Words Bookstore?
Stickers say Words Bookstore. Mm-hmm. You put it on the bag, and that's what we get to the customers when they buy it.
Sure.
Book. Starts with that. The second is, as I have said, our sales have been going great guns. We sell well over $1 million worth of books a year. And so it's a lot of books, and that's a lot of recycling because the books come in boxes. And we have kids who break down the, I shouldn't say kids, young adults. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm old, they they break down the boxes, they tie them up. Other people who are a little higher function, we've had do deliveries for us, people who have driver's license deliveries and or bringing the boxes to the town dump or sometimes picking up boxes from books from distributors for us. Then we have people who put price stickers on some of our non-book items. Books come with a price right on.
Okay.
Stickers them up. Mm-hmm. And again, some who do shelving and computer data entry for us as well as... speaking to customers.
Okay, so a lot of different jobs, from something that's very basic to something that's more complicated.
Exactly.
But the bottom line is these people are on the spectrum.
Yes.
Yeah.
But our specialty, I just want to say, is really geared towards the middle to severe part of the spectrum.
And what does your son do, speaking? Because he's middle to severe.
Yes.
Right?
And he comes in and he apparently,
that's
it's
Daniel.
Funny. Daniel, yes. Daniel. And I'm actually avoid going to the store when he's there. He's only there a few hours a week because he's in a great day program right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he behaves better
when you're not there.
So I try not to get involved with it. We have our vocational training coordinator in our store who works with him. But Dan actually goes to the bank to deposit our money. Waiting in line at the bank's been a good skill for him to learn because he's not that good at waiting in line.
Helps
do a little bit of cleaning before the store enters, and he also does the other tasks that I mentioned. But I gather he's not real keen on the recycling from what I hear, and he complains about it.
Oh, okay.
The way he complains about it, he doesn't say, I don't like doing recycling, because he doesn't have that much language. Mm-hmm. He just starts creating excuses to get out of it.
Okay, well, clever.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
He's a very clever guy.
I do that with things I don't want to do. Well, my son is an expert book shredder. I can't keep a cover on a book for more than a minute before he shreds the cover.
Yeah, my son likes doing that.
Yeah,
too.
So if you need someone at your store to rip off covers,
that'd be great.
I got the guy for you.
Good.
Yeah,
maybe we'll open
He'd
a branch
be an expert.
Out in the
need a
in
branch
San
in California. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I've never been to Maplewood, New Jersey, but now I have a reason to go.
Please join us. Come visit. We're 15 minutes from Newark Airport. We're half an hour from New York City.
Oh, okay. That's convenient. Okay, people, did you hear that?
And so, you can always visit us at wordsbookstore.com.
Wordsbookstore.com. Well, definitely from everything I've heard about your work, you deserve all the accolades that you get. And I hope you are a model and an inspiration to other professionals and families and parents that are trying to find meaningful work for their kids after school. Thank you for being a pioneer.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Jonah, signing out.
Well, that's it. I thought very interesting, very encouraging. His wife is really killing it in business, so he decides he'll be the stay-at-home dad, founds this place, providing employment for people, just, you know, so many of us get overwhelmed by the prospects of our kids aging and what to do. And for him to just, him and his wife, excuse me, to take it by the horns and really do something really encouraging, really cool. And what a great guy. All right. Our next interview is Jill Escher did this one in New York City with the author Judith Newman. Oh, yeah. Last name I can say. That's great. she wrote a book that was very well received. Like a lot of things in the autism community, there's always a little bit of drama. What's the saying? If the only thing worse than somebody talking about you is somebody not talking about you. So she is a columnist at the New York Times, I believe. Writes for the New York Times, and has written several books. I believe two or three, and we're focusing on the one she wrote about her son with autism, who has a hard time with money, kind of similar to Peter, where he doesn't really understand the value of money. It's kind of similar to Peter Graham's Graham's brother, and just gives money to the homeless because it makes them happy, which is the sweetest thing ever. But sometimes hard to get to where you need to go if you needed that money for the train. But the book is called A Seer with Love, and the subtitle is A Mother, Her Autistic Son, and the Kindness of Machines, referencing the fact that he can ask his phone all sorts of questions at all times of day or night, and the computer will answer it for him without getting annoyed or whatnot. Well, let's play the interview, and then we'll talk about it a little bit.
Hey, everyone. This is Jill Escher, roving reporter for the Autastic Podcast, and I have roved all the way across the country from California to New York City, where I am so honored to be seated with a famous writer and autism mom, amazing person, Judith Newman. Judith Newman, welcome to Autastic.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And you know, if I'm a famous writer today, even more good reason to have me. Thank you.
Yes, well, Judith, if any of you read the New York Times, she is a columnist for the New York Times and has published, what, two books?
A couple books.
Okay, yeah, sorry, I haven't done on my count.
Yeah, no, you don't need to.
Okay. But the reason she's here isn't all of her books. She wrote a book about, came out last year.
Yeah.
Called To Siri with Love.
Yes.
And I loved this book. And it's a book about, which of course she'll tell us about it, but it's about life with her son who has autism, Gus, who is 18 now?
Just turned 17.
Just turned 17. Ago. Okay. And this book, I bought it when it first came out, and it sat on my nightstand, and I would see To Siri with Love every night before I went to sleep, and I didn't open it for a long time. I think it was because, you know, my kids with autism don't use Siri. You know, they wouldn't be able, they can't talk to Siri, they're nonverbal. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't know if I really want to read this book. I had 10 other books on my nightstand. Well, finally, something got into me, and I opened it up, and I could not put it down. I think I read that book in a day. I loved it. And not only did I love it, it was literally one of those laugh out loud on almost every page kind of book. It was so good. So you have a fan in California.
Well, I could not be more thrilled about that. And using Siri the way my son did, it's not for every kid on the spectrum. But I've discovered that a lot of kids, I say that I've written a book about, like, the quote unquote average kid, whatever that means. It's that he's verbal, and I've found that a lot of kids who have serious communication problems, and also like repetition, are very happy to use something like Siri, because Siri will answer all of your annoying questions if you happen to be interested in, you know, red-eared slider turtles, as my son was at the time. And will answer your questions and answer them again and again and again, and also does a bunch of other things, just enforces politeness.
Well, let's back up, because I want to talk, mm-hmm. I want to get to Siri, mm-hmm. but I want to introduce the audience a little bit more to you and Gus. So you have two kids, mm-hmm. two boys, fraternal twins, about 17. One is on the spectrum, Gus, and you have Henry, who's typical. Tell us about discovering Gus's autism. Of course, in the book, you describe it, but you talked about your years of denial and, you know, kind of figuring out what was going on. Can you just back up and tell us about your early years and sort of bring us up to today?
Sure. I really do believe that people are divided into eagles and ostriches, mothers are. And I was definitely, you know, the eagle is the person who's on top of everything, who's looking one step ahead, who's trying everything for their child. And I was that ostrich who really went around knowing that there was obviously something very different about my son and not neurotypical, but just wanting the reassurance that that wasn't the case. So I told people that, you know, I asked everybody.
Me too.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
I tell you, I asked absolutely everybody who ever came in contact with him, you don't think he's autistic? Do you think he's autistic? And here he would be, you know, talking to their feet or, you know, talking to the closet in a dialogue that had nothing to do that was going on. That's when he finally did start to talk. But anyway, I asked that question so often, I just decided that, you know, do you think he is autistic is kind of like the medical equivalent of, do you think my ass looks fat in these jeans?
Because no one's going to say yes.
No one's going to say yes. And also, if you're having to ask the question, your ass looks fat in the jeans. So
right.
I think that that's pretty much how that goes. And he, you know, he wasn't looking in people's faces and he wasn't playing with toys, but he always did everything just on the edge of where you could go, like, not entirely panic. Like, you know, and how kids, he would walk at like 19 months, or he would begin to talk some words at 2.5, or he would, whatever it was, I could tell myself for quite a while. But at a certain point, you just can't.
Yeah,
you get kicked
point.
Out of, you get kicked out of schools.
Mm-hmm.
Your son, as I was saying, my son was incorrigible about certain social things. He was, when he was very little, I don't think there are too many neurotypical kids who love people's feet so much that he would go over to strangers and start meowing at them. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay, it's a little different.
Yes, I still remember he was maybe 6 years old and he goes over to a beautiful Filipino woman with perfect pedicure, which is his type, and starts meowing at her feet. And she just looks at him we're on the subway platform, and she goes, "You could buy me dinner." So I spent years being terrified of stuff like that. So so clearly he was, but he was also, I was very, very lucky that he was not a destructive person. He was not, he would have meltdowns, but he wasn't self-destructive and he wasn't destructive. So if that's the case with a child, there's a lot you can tell yourself.
In the book, he comes across as so sweet. Oh.
He is.
And then I saw a picture of him. I looked him up. He looks just like you.
He does, yes. He does look a lot like
And
me.
Your other son looks just like your late husband.
Yes, yes. Exactly. Yes, they don't seem to be sharing any DNA, but apparently somebody's told me that they do. So there's that, yeah.
So bring us up to today. I know that he is a talented musician with perfect pitch, and he has memorized the entire subway system, and he still has very enduring difficulties with social situations. But tell us where he is now.
He does. Well, in the book, I just talk about how using Siri was a bridge to human communication. And I've noticed recently, now, he still doesn't like to be with people. He doesn't like to go on hang out with his friends all that much. But I love to see the texts that he has, these endless texts between him and his friends, because they all have some obsession.
Mm-hmm.
So the texts go like this. Gus will text somebody a Lori Berkner song or a train. Then somebody else, one of his other friends who's obsessed with escalators, will text a picture of an escalator. And then this third guy always texts a piece of cheese. And he's the guy, the cheese guy. I'm sure he's going to be working at Murray's someday.
Murray's,
and it just goes like that.
Murray's is what?
Oh, Murray's is a cheese shop in New York, a famous cheese
shop. Okay, all you non-New Yorkers. There you have it.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
So you have a cheese obsession. You've got
Laurie Berkner,
who's a musician obsession. Yes, different obsessions.
Different obsessions. So I love that. And they all say to each other, cool. And then they go on to their own obsession. But my fear and the fear of so many people who have kids on the spectrum is that they're never going to have friends. They will not be able to socialize. And of course, that's true for some kids. That is true. But also, what's more true is that they will have, my son has friends in the way he's chosen to have friends. And it may not be like you have friends. I don't think you're mailing people pieces of cheese. Although, you know, with the way people take selfies.
I have my obsessions, Judah.
You have your obsessions. I do. I would like to know what those are. So there's definitely, and he's just still the sweetest person. He's still, and he's like a lot of other kids. He doesn't play music robotically. He doesn't want to practice. If I don't sit him down to do it, he won't do it. But he does play, and he plays well, and it gives him a lot of pleasure. And he can navigate the city, obviously. That is his great passion. He can go anywhere, and does go anywhere himself.
Is he doing it by himself now?
Oh, he totally. He goes every place by himself. But, like with other kids, we've gotten to the point where I have to have him keep money in different pockets because the $20 bill is here. $20 bills are in the right pocket. The $1 bills are in the left pocket because he gives away his money. And so I will never be able to stop him. His answer is when he gives a $20 bill to somebody who is homeless, as he's done recently, he's like, but it makes them so happy.
Oh.
So the nicest person in the world, the most trusting person in the
so
world.
So vulnerable.
And yet, you know, we spend our time going like, ugh.
By the way, slight tangent. Did you see the film called Keep the Change?
No.
Okay, here's a little plug for a film. Actually, it's a New York-based film starring actors with autism. Ooh. And one of the characters, just like Gus, couldn't do anything with money. It was called Keep the Change because he couldn't count money. He couldn't really attribute value to money.
Yes.
But he was high function enough to be kind of independent. So now you have to see that movie.
I do have to see that
and
movie.
And it's starring actors who are really on the spectrum.
Oh, I love that.
It's a very special movie. Keep the Change.
I must see that. And I must, you know, if there's a movie in there or something about people who can't stop themselves from answering the phone. I say in the book, my son, Henry, put him up to it, but my son answers all the telemarketers that call.
Oh.
And, you know, Henry says, Mom, they're wasting your time. You give them the gift of wasting time with Gus, who will keep them on the phone for a very long time. So that, but my point being that it's still at 17 is not someone I can trust with a credit card because he would be reading that credit card off to somebody. So that's the missing piece. And I don't know if that is going to be solved or if it's not going to be solved. But many things that I thought would never change have changed. They just changed at a much later date. So we'll see.
I know that, you know, one of the reasons you wrote the book and one of the reasons you're outspoken about autism is ultimately, you know, you want a world where Gus can find his place and where everybody with autism, you know, really belongs. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, to me, Freud had it right. Love and work, that's what matters. And there is nothing to replace the dignity of work. I mean, I have one neurotypical son whose idea of a job is running a poker game at lunch at high school. And my other, here's my son with all of these challenges who wants nothing more than to work.
Mm.
And he's always, he does, people stop by my apartment still because they know at a certain time from 6 to 8, he'll be doing doorman duty. Now, I've told the doorman they cannot leave him alone anymore to do this because sometimes they would. But he can do everything about a doorman's job except that one little problem of keeping people out. If Charles Manson showed up at my door.
Come on in.
Come on. How are you doing?
Someone
toting a gun. What kind of gun? I mean, so it's not, that's not the option.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you create a situation? And again, these are the things you hope will change.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be a conductor. He talks about train conductor. Yeah, he can do everything about that job, except he won't be able to chuck someone off the train if they're giving a problem. So What do you do about those
Someone
things?
Someone who's too nice.
Too, right.
So we have to find the place for somebody who's too nice and is very vulnerable and That's plays right. piano.
And like... Right. It's we think we've got the job. If you can just be an information person at Grand Central, there are people who do that. That's his mm-hmm. that's his dream job. Or, but really, and I that's what I'm looking for, and that's what my life is going to be about in the next few years.
Yeah, well, join the club.
Yes.
Join the club because yeah. I think all of us autism moms have that, I don't know, pit of panic inside of us
yes.
that we cannot pass until we've found that place,
right.
you know, where our kids can be safe and thrive. So we're all on that quest separately and together, aren't we?
Yeah, I yeah. think we are.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you talking about, you know, sharing your family's story. You know, I'm so different from you. Your memory is intense. You just captured all these little details throughout your book.
My memory.
Your memory, because you it was
me?
A mem well a memoir of it was a memoir called Memory. And it had all these little scenes, things that resonated so much with me. See, I'm opposite of you. I repressed everything. I just repressed. I have two kids with nonverbal autism and so much difficulty and challenge and trauma. I just kind of to function every day, I think I just swipe my brain clean. And reading your book, not in a bad way, but it brought back so many memories for
yes,
me.
Both good and bad.
And I just, as I said, I love the book. I hope you autistic listeners out there will look up To Siri with Love.
Just out in paperback.
Oh, it's out in paperback.
Yeah, so there you go.
Okay, so
Cheap.
It's lighter and cheaper.
Exactly.
Or you could borrow my copy. You know, just give me a call. but no, it was great to talk to you, Judith, and
Thank
I'm kind of starstruck
Thank
talking
you.
To you. So
I you're making me I'm starstruck being with Jill Escher.
And
Thank
Kirk and Graham
much.
By proxy. So
and
hi Kirk
and
Kirk
and
Graham.
Graham by proxy. Yes. Loved your listen to you. Big fan.
All right, guys. That's it from the Roving Reporter. Back at you next time.
Yeah, so that's it. That's it. That's the interview. It's an absolute honor to have. I feel like I'm always surprised at the quality of the guests that we're able to get on this show. It's so great. There's people doing great things. I feel like a lot of parents with kids with autism have a very different perspective. So I'm sure hers is going to be a little different than mine, but I think it's invaluable to have different perspectives and different unique takes on it. You know, people are doing their best and it's a complicated issue. It's a very complicated issue. And so, yeah, absolutely an honor to have Ms. Judith Newman on the show. Guys, that's it. Hopefully next week we'll be back with our regularly scheduled programming. Hopefully Graham will get back from the boats and we can do one. Follow me on Instagram, Kirk Smith Comedy, and Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Send us your notes and Facebook messages. We'll get to those this month. We'll do a reading of those. And Graham's is Graham K Comedy. You can catch him most weekends in New York City. I'm mostly in LA or touring. We appreciate your support on Patreon. patreon.com/autastic, A-U-T-S, you know how to spell it. Even for $1 an episode, it works out to $4 to $5 a month. It means a lot to us. The work of the many, what is it? Many hands make light work. So if all of us kick in $1, it really helps us produce this, get the equipment and the hosting of the website, etc., etc. Guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Have a great week. You can do it.